All right, so we mentioned last week, but it bears saying again, the day is closer. Remember not to lose your faith while spending time with your loved ones this week. All right? We have an awesome opportunity to love and to share and to show mercy and to give thanks to God for all of his gifts. And it needs to be repeated because I'm sure some of you have actually gone grocery shopping for some of the things that you're going to cook this week. And that may have been a painful experience. So be thankful that God provided what you need to have it. All right. So God always gives us reason to be thankful. Sometimes we get in the way and we let other things get in the way. But my prayer for you is that God is the brightest and the loudest thing in your life. Because when you keep your eyes and your focus and your heart on him, he will always outshine everything. He will always outshine everything. Let's go to our Father in prayer and then we'll get in the Word today. Our Father in heaven, we love you so much. We are so grateful to you. Because Lord, before you made us, you knew that we would mess it up. Before you made us, you knew that our hearts would have a penchant to serve ourselves, to not trust you, to go our own way. And before you made us, you made an eternal plan to take care of us. Father, your love is so great, and even in our ability to rebel, we see your love. Because you love us enough to allow us to make mistakes. You love us enough to choose life and righteousness and faithfulness. And Father, because of that freedom that you have given us, we love you of our own accord. Father, we worship you of our own accord. We glorify you above all things because you've given us a choice to do so. And Father, because of that choice that our life in this world, really it's easy with you. And Father, sometimes life in this world is difficult with this world. So this morning, as we study your word together, as we are encouraged by your scriptures, I pray, Lord, that you continue to guide our steps towards you. We have started our journey of eternal life with you. We continue to walk and to live in the heavenly places with you. And we look forward, Father, to the day when we can rest from toil and we can enjoy the heavenly places with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 12. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Church, this is an amazing thing. Paul speaks from a place of of frustration and unrest, and yet he still makes the confession that in Christ we are being led in triumphal procession. That our lives and our ministry and our service and all that we do is in the sight of God. He is watching and he is leading and he is making all things end in good. And church, we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, we talked about all the things that we receive and enjoy in the heavenly places. And we talked about last week our faith to trust God that he is guiding our steps through all of those things. And today I want us to see that those steps are triumph. Those steps are triumph. You know, so often we look at life around us and because we know that God is over everything, that we blame God for the toil. That we blame God for the hardships and the difficulties and we cry out to him, God, why do you make it so difficult? Why do you make it so hard? And here's the thing, God doesn't make things difficult. God doesn't make things difficult. God makes things easy. We make things difficult. The world makes things difficult. Sin has made things difficult. In fact, this morning when we read from Hosea chapter 4, God's accusation to his people, he just looks at them and says, look, the whole world is worse off because you are not living up to what you're supposed to be living up to. But that's the kind of difference that God's people make in the world. And that is a whole new way of seeing things. And the only way that we are going to live up to our heavenly calling is if we see things the way God sees things. If we just see things as though, well, my salvation is taken care of through the blood of Jesus, and I know my people, and we're all good, and we are just waiting for that day when Jesus comes back and we can finally say goodbye to all of this horrible, horrible things that are going on and all the things that we have to put up with and all the things that we have to deal with. And yet, church, it should be you and I that recognize the beauty in what God has made. It should be you and I that recognize and celebrate the good that God is doing. It's you and I that live and walk in the light that should be able to point to the light, to remind each other of the light, to point to the lost of the light and say, look, that is it. That's what we're working for. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. That's what we're filled with. That is home, because this is home. And so Paul reminds us that even in confusion and even in frustration, that Jesus is leading us in triumphal procession. It's like Jesus is leading us in a... You ever watch the Super Bowl parade or the World Series parade? No? Yeah, me neither. There you go. Yeah, Thursday, some of you are watching. Isn't that the Macy's Day Parade on Thanksgiving? Yeah, the Macy's Day Parade, and you got all the floats that are going through and all the bands that are playing. And just you do go through the whole thing and then they end with Santa Claus and then it's over. You can go on to lunch or football or whatever it is you're going to do on Thursday. Maybe it'll be warm enough to get outside and, I don't know, paint the shed or do something useful. But life with Jesus is like an eternal parade. And he says to us, Paul writes here, he says, look, you and I are walking through this world and we are carrying with us the aroma of Jesus. We are close enough to him that we carry his scent. We carry his scent. I don't know about you, but my olfactory senses, my sniffer's pretty sensitive. And, being stuck in a classroom with 7th and 8th grade boys all day, It's rough. I have one of those wax melters in my room, and I come in the morning and I click it on. I got squirters of Febreze, Lysol. No masks. But Kids come in the morning, first thing in the morning, they say, "Oh, Mr. Park, your classroom smells so good." I said, "It sure does, until you guys come in here." And they'll be after some classes that I will literally just walk in between desks just squirting and spraying. Because the aroma that is left by some kids stays after they have physically gone. And so this analogy really hits home with me when Paul says, you are the aroma of Jesus. That Jesus has come and Jesus has gone and you are still carrying his smell on you. And church, that's so amazing that we get to be close enough to the Savior of the world that his aroma sticks on us. And wherever we go in this triumphal procession, people can just smell it on us. I hope they can smell it on you. I hope they can smell that love on you. And I hope they can smell that mercy on you. And he says, look, this is light to light and death to death. That's what it smells like. And if you've ever smelled death, or seventh grade boys after athletics period, you know how rough that can be. But at the same time, you've also smelled life, right? Just think about those smells you're going to smell Thursday. Oh, yeah. Hamburgers. Barbecue. Potato chips. You know, whatever it is you guys do for Thanksgiving. I don't know. Cassie, you're looking at me like you guys don't have hot dogs for Thanksgiving. What? You, no? 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 Yes? give me a hot dog for Thanksgiving. Yeah. That'd make it good. Church, Jesus is using our lives to spread the fragrance of him wherever we go. We are the aroma of Christ. Life and death. That's who we take with us and that's who we carry. And if we are carrying the aroma of Jesus, people are going to have a reaction. People are going to have a reaction to us. And so Kevin read for us in Luke chapter 19, the triumphal entry that Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he is about to come and he is about to face death. But because his followers understand who he is, they make a party out of it. They make a party out of it because they understand that he comes from God. That God, the creator of all things, has seen fit to look down on where we are in his creation, and he looks at us and he says, they need help. They need help, and I'm the only one willing and able to provide it for them. And so he sends his son, Jesus. He sends his son into this broken world. He sends his son into this sinful world, and Jesus just being himself and trusting the Father and living his life spreads the aroma of life wherever he goes. And some that had responded to that, well, they take their coats off and they lay it out on the dirt road and they get the palm fronds and they lay them all out and Jesus comes in on the little horse and he's riding in and they are just praising God's name for his gift that he has provided. And it is life to life. Because you know as well as I do, and we are here, and we here, we get to speak life to life. We here get to speak the good that God has done for us, and we speak life to life, and we share that. And yet, not everybody was happy with Jesus showing up, were they? No, that's why we read from Luke's version, because Luke points out that the Pharisees, in all of this life going on, the Pharisees show up. The Pharisees show up and they say, what are you doing? Why are your disciples acting like this? This is not how people, sober-minded religious people, need to act. They're being ridiculous. Shut them up. Now, it's also, another reason was, you just don't need to get out of your lane because, you know, we got a pretty sweet deal with the government. That is, they leave us alone and we pretty much leave them alone. Right? You remember why John got in trouble? Remember John the Baptist? Why'd John get in trouble? He Yeah. Yeah. He pointed that finger at Herod and says, hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And they put him down for it. They put him down for it. And here the Pharisees are looking at Jesus and saying, you need to quiet down. And your people need to quiet down. And Jesus' response, his response is beautiful. He says, look, they understand, they get it. And it is so powerful that even if I quieted them down, what would sing in their place? The rocks would sing. The rocks would sing. Creation gets it. And those who have been enlightened by the good news of Jesus get it. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, I can't help you if you don't get it. But it's good. God is doing something for his beloved creation. He is redeeming a people for himself. He is calling to life. He is looking at us and saying, look, I know, I'm sorry, you guys have made a real mess of it, but I'm providing you a better way. I'm providing for you a way out. I'm providing for you good. And so they sing out. And church, this is so powerful because even though some people are always going to respond from death, you and I get to respond from life. How do you respond when people poo-poo on your happy stuff? I know someone just went to your frontal lobe just like that. Because you got someone in your life or someone, you know, sitting next to you this morning that no matter what good thing is happening, they can always find the cloud hiding the silver lining. You know what I'm talking about? I know. I speak from experience. No, I'm the cloud. Sonny's over here laughing like I want to blame her for something. No, she's the silver lining. I'm the cloud. I can find a cloud in any silver lining. Right? Hey, we got this get together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, are there going to be people there? Yeah, there's going to be people there. Your family. Oh, my family? Okay. All right. Hey, we're going to go do this fun thing. It's going to be great. There's going to be so many Christmas lights. Can you imagine what that electric bill would be? You know what I'm talking about, right? I drive by Steve's house and wonder, oh, boy. Yeah, we know what that's like. We know what that's like to be around those whose aroma is just death, right? How do you respond to that? Do you quiet yourself? I better not celebrate around you. I better not be joyful around you. Don't you have those people in your life? You are just going around, just living your life. You got a smile on your face, and it all is good in the world because everything is good with you and God. And some people around you just can't stand it. They're just like, ugh, life. Ugh. Right? And they just want to bring you down to death. They're like, well, we're all dying here. You should be miserable too. And Jesus says, look, if they're quiet, creation will cry out. Creation will cry out. And church, we are called to have that aroma on us. We are called to live our life so that others can see. So that others can see and know that there's good. That there's good. Yes, there's bad. There's going to be bad. Until Jesus returns, there's going to be bad. Free reign. Because if the bad wasn't allowed to exist, guess what? There'd be no one for God to redeem. Maybe his church needs to be convicted of that truth. If no bad existed, there would be no one to shine light for. If no bad existed, if no death existed, then there would be no one to smell the aroma of life. Life to life, death to death. Church, we need to be marching in triumphal procession. We're not going to go out from this place and say, all right, well, back to the grind, back to the real world. No, this is the real world, because this is what's eternal. This is what lasts, and that's why we have faith. People are always going to respond. People are going to respond to life, or they're going to stay in death. And we have to do what Jesus does. We love them. We teach them. We share with them. We open up to them. We make ourselves vulnerable to them. Because that's how you see mercy. By actually seeing mercy. That's where we come in. That's where we come in. Because when we look back and as thankful as we are for what Jesus has done for us, we have to understand and realize He called us to the same thing. He called us to the same thing. He called us to all the benefits of what He has done for us, and then He has called us to live in such a way that other people benefit from mercy as well. That's our calling. Today we are adding some deacons to help us in the service to the church. And I'd like us to turn over to Acts chapter 6. We're going to take a look at really our pattern for deacon serving. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers and sisters, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. You know, the word that we use for deacon comes from the Greek word that means to minister, to serve. And this word actually comes from the dirt. From the dirt. And what we see here in the Bible is that our shepherds are leading and teaching and ministering and dealing with some pretty heavy spiritual things. And to do that work effectively, the church needs spirit-filled men who are willing to take on just as important but different tasks. And so the apostles say, look, we get that there's a need. We get that there's a need. Food is a need. It's an important need. But they say, we can't stop ministering to the word, and we can't stop what God has given us to do, so we're going to appoint some people for this service. And so today, here at Sunrise, it's a special day, and it's an important day, because deacons serve to meet the needs of the church. And we're adding some men to join in this service, and Terry's going to make this announcement in a little bit. And I want you to know that these are men that we smell the aroma of life in. These are men that are willing to serve. They've already been serving. We're going to recognize them and give them some specific duties to help the church continue in our triumphal procession. As church, we're all headed in the same direction. We're all headed in the same direction. We know where we began. We began with Jesus. We began when we put our faith in Jesus and His death for our sins. And we continue in Jesus each and every day as we look to Him and not ourselves. As we don't trust our own wisdom and our own understanding and our own ability, we trust God. For He is greater than us. And when we look around and our spirit doesn't seem right within us, and we're confused or we're frustrated, or we're just feeling the feelings that we feel in this human condition, that we still will trust God. And we know that no matter what, He is leading us in the right direction. And He is taking care of us and guarding and guiding us in our faith. And so these men that are going to serve with us, they're going to help us in our triumphal procession. We began with Christ, we continue with Christ, and it is all of our goal to end with Christ. And so we're going to sing together, and then we're going to let Terry help us in this and recognize these men. So again, as you go throughout this week, it's too early anyway. It's still November, so don't be the humbug. When you are among those who smell like death, that's not the time to put a little green or blue Christmas tree around your neck and hide your aroma. When you're with your family, you're with your coworkers, and you're with your friends, and you're with your heathens, that is not the time to stifle the aroma of Jesus. We praise Him, we love Him, we celebrate Him. Because we too, at one time, were apart from Him. We know what it's like to be dead. We know what it's like to need mercy. And we know how good that mercy is. So let us live the life of Jesus, so that others can see that life and know and come and experience what we have. It's all for Him and it's all from Him and all for His glory. Let's close in prayer and then we'll sing together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the gifts that You provide us. We thank You for the love that You show us. We thank You for the mercy that You have given us. And Father, we are so glad that we get to live our lives following You in a triumphal procession. We are so glad that we get to lift You up with our hosannas. And we pray, Lord, that we will carry Your aroma of life into the world around us. That we will not stifle Your good news. That we will not quiet the joy in our hearts. But that we will share and be open with everyone. Help us in this, Lord. We began with Jesus, we continue with Jesus, and we want to finish with Jesus. Help all of us as we do that faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.